I want to welcome the chairman of the North Dakota Soybean Council, Jim Thompson, is here. Hey, Jim, how are you?
Hi, Scott. I'm good. Thanks for having us in.
Yeah, Justin Sherlock as well, who's president of the North Dakota Soybean Growers Association. Hey, Justin.
Good to see you again.
So just start with a top line overview. Jim, I'll start with you. We've covered this story. We've followed it. There have been market impacts on this, but the dust has settled a little bit. China said some things that are favorable to all this. You guys are actually boots on the ground. What's happening from your perspective? Give me the lay of the land and the latest.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. We're starting to see a little bit of movement of soybeans, obviously out of North Dakota, and some of them are migrating out to the Pacific Northwest during harvest. And shortly thereafter, we actually had some soybeans going south, getting on rail and heading down to the Gulfs and also some into Mexico. So we're finding a home for these beans. I think Justin and I touched on the last time we were here that, or the last time we spoke with you anyway, that beans are going to find their way. And they are. They're starting to trickle out. And there's still a lot of beans, I think, in storage, both on the farm and in elevators across the state. But we're seeing some progress. We're seeing China buy, come into the market and start to sniff around a little bit. And so things are happening. They're not full speed ahead yet, but things are progressing a little bit, and we're still obviously trying to get into some other markets and expand other markets as well.
Yeah, that's the big kahuna here, right, is opening up new markets, and I think that's the thing you hear from the trade representative and the Trump administration related to that. This is why you're doing it. More markets solves a lot of problems. What Jim just talked about, Justin, about China opening up again, rail going other places as well, are those... new orders? Are they similar to what the path was before, all the trade negotiations went away? Benchmark it for me. Is this new movement, new sales?
Well, I think there's opportunities for new markets that we haven't traditionally played in before. You don't replace China overnight. They still are going to be an important customer we're going to need for a while, and hopefully we can always sell them something. I'd rather trade with someone than be completely enemies with someone, right? It's better to communicate, do business with each other.
Well, but they kind of need us too, don't they?
Well, they need us and we need them. It goes both ways. For example, a lot of people say you need to move past China, look at other markets. Well, they have been, the council's work and what USB's been doing for decades has been looking at other markets, but it takes time. But China, for example, just the volume, to put it in perspective for people around here that maybe don't realize how big of a market China is for soybeans, those mile and a half long unit trains that everybody sees in the country? They're crushing one of those trains worth of soybeans every 45 to 50 minutes. The rest of the world combined hardly adds up to that. So
they're the 800-pound gorilla.
They are. Yeah. But we're working on other markets. One of the biggest things that we have that we didn't have last time in the trade war is we now have the two crush plants in the state. We've talked about that before. But now that we have meal coming out of those plants, the oil's going to the biofuels, and there's a lot more work we can do to expand that biofuel market. Then we can sell more petroleum oil to other countries, in my opinion. But if we can get that biofuels growth, we'll have more meal we can export to other countries. I was in Colombia a few months ago, and a lot of Latin American, Central American countries are excited because now they can buy meal out of the United States competitively. So it's opening up new markets we didn't have before, and we'll keep working on our traditional markets. And I think there's going to be opportunity, but I think there's some rough years ahead yet for the next few years for farmers. But I do think long-term there's opportunity.
You're nodding, Jim, in the rough years ahead.
Rough years ahead, but also to piggyback off of what Justin said, we actually have a group of four council members and three association members heading over to Vietnam and Thailand next weekend. So we've got some emerging possible expansion markets over there in the soy food, soy snacks, aquaculture, which is a huge user of meal. So we're hitting the ground running and trying to get ahead of this and get some new markets opened up.
Okay, I'm going to come back to new markets, and I also want to talk a little bit about, to the extent we can, everybody wins when you're leaving the soybeans here, and there's a place for them, the markets for them. So we love that. But back to China and a little bit of history. First Trump administration, there was an announcement that, okay, we're going to buy so many soybeans, and then they didn't follow through them. The president, other trade officials have mentioned many times, sorry, you're not going to pull that on us this time. So what we've seen opening up that you mentioned earlier in China happening, do you sense there is a different approach here, that they are actually going to honor their commitments here?
Boy, that's
unknown.
It's an unknown because of the past history, right?
But they are doing it now.
They are doing it, not to the levels that we would hope to, but you have to start somewhere. So we're hoping that this eventually can snowball and get back to at least some. I don't know that we're ever going to get back to where we were. I really don't, because of they've already sourced their beans from South America. But like any business would tell you, sourcing one product from one location, not ideal. So
you don't want that big a customer controlling your world.
No, and honestly, I will stand on a stump and tell you that our quality is far and above superior to South America. It's not a hidden fact.
Do they care?
I think China may say they don't care. You talk to individual buyers from China, they care. When they come over and they tour our farms and they ride with us in the combine, they look in the grain tank, they say, those are beans we want. We don't want this other stuff we're getting. Those are the beans we want. So we're quick to say, yeah, well, then buy them. They're here.
So when you talk about their starting, it's not back to where it was. Is the delta the difference between, again, where they were and some of these other markets you're talking about, the trip coming up and whatnot, you know, is that doable? Obviously, you're not going to replace China, given what, you know, we're just hearing in the way of their consumption. But the difference between what they are doing and what is possible, does that get you back whole?
It's going to get close, but I think like Justin touched on, the biofuels and domestic use and domestic crush and all that, that's going to help tremendously if we can get the, as you know, Justin's lane is the policy side and the biofuels, and I think that's going to be key.
Justin, let's pick up a little bit more about keeping it local, right, and having markets mm-hmm. here at home, which fixes everything. Just from a basic economic standpoint, you know, anytime you're putting it on a train, wherever you're putting it, or on a ship overseas, it's not free.
Well, yeah, someone's paying for that transportation, and usually it's the farmer that's taking a big part of that cost to move it in or move it out, whether it's inputs or what we grow and ship out. So, you know, if we can, and granted, North Dakota, you know, we can do some work with animal agriculture. There's things we can do, but we're probably still going to always move it somewhere. But if we can use our products in the U.S., that's a benefit over relying on overseas partners. Now, we're still going to need trade. You know, trade's not going away, and unfortunately, both of the last two administrations, the current one and the previous one, trade wasn't a top priority because Americans' priorities seem to shift. But for agriculture, trade remains important, so we need it. And hopefully people remember, like America, that this is one of our products. We're successful. We're a great agriculture supplier to the world. But I think we can expand the biofuels. That is what's going to be our big thing. You know, we're being told you have to move past China. You need to look for other markets. You know, the president said, he told us, you need to use more of your products and grow more products to use domestically. If the administration, you know, they came out with a proposed RVO, a renewable volume obligation for biofuels that was really good. Yeah, the final rule should come out, we think, in the next few weeks. If they come out really supportive of biofuels, biodiesel, renewable diesel, sustainable aviation fuel, we can use a lot more of these soybeans here. Those two crush plants we built in North Dakota, you're going to see more crush plants around the country go up. There's a third one in North Dakota that's still being looked at. There's opportunity to continue to grow that industry. And then, like I said before, that gives us more meal, because we're going to use the oil for biofuels. That gives us more meals to send to Jim's group out to find more customers that we normally haven't sold to or grow animal agriculture here. There's opportunity. Again, that's the long-term play, though. You know, that doesn't solve the problems today, but it helps.
Rough numbers long-term related to total soybean output in North Dakota. Just dream a little bit. I mean, you get to the point where a third of that soybean stays here if all this other plant comes on, if the meal thing goes right, you get the right policy out of D.C.?
Well, the two crush plants we have already have the capacity to crush about half the soybeans we grow in the state on a typical average year. So just think if we doubled the biofuels use in this country, you know, we export around half of the soybeans we grow, or a little more, I believe, of the soybeans we grow in the U.S. we export. Just think of what we could do if we doubled our biofuels and used more here.
Yeah, wow. How is the price doing through all this, Jim?
Well, what you've seen is the futures haven't fallen off a whole lot. What we had last summer and last fall when all the trade issues were going on was we had that local cash basis, especially in North Dakota, because no beans were going out to the Pacific Northwest. So your local cash price really suffered. Your basis widened out to $1.25 to $1.40 to maybe even $1.50 under. Some places just took them off the board completely for a little bit. So you've seen that basis come back and narrow up. Now we're looking at anywhere from a 70 under to an 80 under basis for harvest this coming year, which typically is a pretty normal basis. So you could contract $10 cash beans off the combine right now. which isn't terrible, but obviously if that's the worst sale I had, that'd be okay too.
Last go around, the first Trump administration, when there was disruption, Trump basically said, we got to plus up farmers because they're right now in the middle of this trade battle. Similar programs have been announced. How much does that lessen the blow? Do you know yet?
Well, if you're talking the bridge payments,
yeah,
I'm going to let Justin handle that one, because that's his lane, probably not mine.
Yeah, you know what? The bridge payments are going to help. You know, they're similar. The economic hardship for farmers was already there before the trade conflict escalated again.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had an ad hoc.
Years worth. Yeah.
Right. We had, well, and really it's been multiple years. So, you know, we've had programs to help farmers before. This isn't going to help a lot, I hate to say it. You know, I think the estimates are it's going to cover maybe 20% of your estimated losses from last year. Well, most banks are going to look at you and say, oh, if you only made up 20% plus the program last year only made up 24% of the estimated losses. Well, now we're starting to use generational wealth by putting up land that's been in a family for generations as collateral to keep farming. So we have to get this demand picture fixed, or long term we're going to start losing farmers, and sooner than later, I'm afraid.
Makes sense. All this can be discussed coming up here in a few weeks.
February 3rd at the West Fargo Fairgrounds.
Yeah. Yeah,
we have the Northern Corn and Soybean Expo. We've got a days-long list of great speakers and presenters, including USB CEO Lucas Lynch, and we also have the CEO from American Soybean Association, Steve Senske. So both of the people in charge of the organizations that Justin and I represent are going to be there in-house to talk and take questions. So just a great opportunity for soybean growers and corn growers, but soybean growers to get out there and talk to these individuals, their local neighbors, their farmers, trade show representatives. I mean, just
they've got skin in the game with the checkoff, so get involved.
Obviously,
right?
Yes. Yeah. And then just on to dovetail on that, we also have our elections coming up for the Soybean Council. We have four spots open. Ransom and Sargent County, Nelson, Griggs, and Steele County, Cavalier, Pembina, and Walsh Counties, and then District 12 is a whole bunch of counties to the south and west. So if you want to be involved, if you want to have a say in your checkoff dollars, this is your opportunity to nominate yourself or someone you know by January 12th, and then ballots will be mailed out February 17th.
You'd take some more members too, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. You know, we rely on membership for our to keep us operating, and I think it's really important that people become members. You know, our parents, grandparents, great-grandparents started these organizations because they needed it. You know, and ag policy issues are not going away. So if you're not a member, you need to become one. I just bought a 5-gallon pail of hydraulic oil the other day. It was about $120. That's a little more. That costs more than what our membership costs for an annual membership. So be a member today. You get a lot of value for that.